Okay, well, greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here this morning again. A beautiful, beautiful drive. It was a little longer drive than what we're used to going to fellowship. But it's a blessing to be gathered in this way. Thank you for the thoughts and the songs. I also heard the theme of the song. You know, there's a prayer and song service. Lord, would you hear us? Would you help us? Would you guide us? That should be the prayer of our lives daily, continually. This morning is our desire as well, that we lift up Christ, you know, then pride. You know, the Apostle Paul and all the men of old, you know, they would rather glory in weaknesses. That wasn't a lame excuse for sinful things, but when we recognize our need of Him, we need Him. You know, though all kinds of men flatter us and tell us how nice we are and how this or that, but we need Him. And when we need Him, we can exalt Him. So, God help us. Thank you for that. Maybe we could rise together for a word of prayer this morning. Father in heaven, this morning as we bow before You, Lord, we quiet our hearts before You, Father, again, before Your another portion of Your Word. As we were in taking in Your Word this morning through song and through meditating thoughts opening, we pray that You would continue that, Lord, with the breaking of the bread of life. That we would together open up Your Word and we would endeavor to understand Your will more fully for our lives, Lord, in a deeper way than You have at this moment. Lord, we thank You for the brothers and sisters here. Thank You for our family for allowing us to come here. We pray, Father, that together today that we would be encouraged to serve You. To not lay down the banners of life, not lay down the fight, but to inspiringly move forward with hope and courage because of our eternal inheritance, Lord. We want to thank You for this. Thank You for this opportunity and pray that You would be in our midst, guide and lead and direct us. Help us to say things that You want said, Lord, and let unsaid what's not necessary. God, would You take full control by the power of Your Word and Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we go through life, and the few thoughts that I have in my heart this morning have become a burden, not a burden in the sense of being discouraged, but have become a burden. And so we're just going to try to. So when something becomes a burden, it becomes real. That might not be everyone's burden in this room, but maybe together we can engage, and there'll be some different thoughts that can be put to that. So for some groundwork or some meditating thoughts, you turn your Bible to Psalm 61. We're going to read that. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings, Selah. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Just a short psalm. The psalmist David was fleeing to God. He flees to God. He vows a perpetual service unto Him. And I was just we all have needs in our life. But as I read this psalm and as circumstances in life and the things that we run into, we come across ideas and we put things together what we're burning, what's burning on our hearts. You know, the thought this morning that I would like to talk about is a goodly heritage. You could title it a godly heritage, a goodly heritage. In It says in verse 5, For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. And that's the heritage that we'd like to look at today. There's a heritage. It's a very important aspect of everybody's life. It's a heritage. I looked up the meaning of heritage, and the word heritage has inheritance, has the word hair, H-E-I-R. It was a beautiful study for my own life. Today we'd like to look at the good in heritage, the goodly heritage. Now there are things that need to be changed in heritage or heritages, you know, groups and in communities, and you know, we think of all through the landscape. I had to think this morning. I thought about drawing a timeline up here just for us to think about. This work done. This is a timeline this morning. In this timeline, there's people groups. Also in this timeline, there's individual people. You could say communities. And in the overarching thing is the timeline of eternity. According to the Word of God, it has been and there's never an end. God is forever. And so we would like to look at the short time frame that we live in. And it helps us. It would help us. It helps me continually. I need this to make our decisions, our inheritance, our decisions on our heritage based on the timeline of eternity. Because that's the only thing that's going to matter. So think about that. We are penned up in a segment of time. We always work with time, and it's important. We don't have nothing left to do. We wake up and we work with time. There is no time. So we want to look at the goodly heritage. We want to look at a goodly heritage from God's Word. I would like to look at that. Look at a few examples in the Bible of a few men that endeavored to make that decision, and also a one in particular that didn't. And very familiar stories. So I think of children. I remember being a young child. Listen to these stories. They're very real. We've heard them over and over, but it was a blessing to me to look at a couple of these men. And then lastly, I'd like to look at a few very practical things of a heritage. Of a heritage that is a blessing. A spiritual heritage. You know, the way to explain that, a lot of times the Bible's written. It was written in the time when we were not there, especially our heritage. You know, like the all kind of it was our type of people was not in the Bible times, but it was written with that concept, and that's how we understand it. And many of the practices are in practical ways are practiced even to this day. A heritage is an inheritance. We'll look at that a little bit. The earthly inheritage many times revolves around monetary things, gifts, money, you know, lands, possessions, and etc. This is not all bad necessarily. It's an inheritance. It's an inheritance on an earthly perspective. It brings out a point though. It is a gift. It's many times a legal gift that's given to a family or certain family members when a father dies. You know, I remember when my grandfather passed away. My father was on a Christian aid base. And my uncle come down one morning, wanted to come in the house with a cup of coffee, and he come in with a checkbook. And he wrote me a check out for my dad's part of the inheritance. And I took the check, and I was going to go take it to my father. It was not mine. It was my father's inheritance. It wasn't wrong. I don't think it was wrong. It was a blessing. We had a nice talk. My uncle and I had a nice talk. And it just some of those thoughts come to my mind. It was distributing an inheritance. But oh to God this morning, We have a higher and a high calling of an inheritance to distribute. And that's what God wants us to do. It's in ancient times. It was a property of a deceased person. And there's been war upon war upon war on those type of things. Right? Earthly inheritances. It was also a tribal custom. You know, the Greeks, they worked a lot on written wills. They were not normally used. The Greeks used them. Wills were written when there was more of confusion. Normally, there was just a very protocol. The family just received inheritance. But the Greeks used wills, so there was always a will written up. Because a larger amount, the Greeks, I think, focused on the larger amount was given to the firstborn. Not in every situation. The firstborn normally had a double. Because he was assumed to be the caretaker of the mother and the father after they passed away. Which, there's things that are not all bad. They're just things the way earthly things, the way they work out. And to me, it may seem, I just thought it was interesting to share some of those meanings. It is still practiced even to this day, isn't it? This kind of heritage outworking. And sometimes there's different families, different communities do things differently. But we divide things up. We give things away. This was not, I apologize, this was not the Greeks that did that. The Greeks, I did say that. The Greeks relied more on wills. It says because, you know, one of the things that happened on a will or inheritance, that could only be denied if there was a serious offense against the father. And that happens these days too. If there is a serious offense against the father, then an inheritance is denied. And some of those things are not necessarily right, or you know, they're not always right, but it happens. But more importantly this morning, that we are never denied the inheritance that comes from God Almighty. And so with that correlation, there is a denial of the inheritance of God when we offend Him. When we offend Him and His precious word, His commandments, we will be denied the inheritance. And it's real. So we'd like to make some of that, just point some of that out a little bit. That's spiritually true this morning. We will be denied an inheritance. If you turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. In light of those things, in light of that topic we just shared about, it says if, in verse 18 in chapter 21 of Deuteronomy, it says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of the city and into the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of the city, this is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a gluttoner and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and they hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And some of those verses put the significance on the sinful behavior of this son. We gotta get him out of here and get him off the tree so this ground isn't cursed. You know, this, the inheritance that God wants to give is holy, is pure. And so some of those thoughts there were a blessing. First Chronicles chapter 5, some more verses. You need to flip on over there, First Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 5, there was a transfer there of the inheritance. It was in the line of Reuben. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. So we see that just an illustration there in the scriptures that the reason that the birthright was taken away from Reuben is because he defiled his father. He defiled his father's bed, it says. And his birthright was given unto Joseph. And then again, it's that spiritual correlation that now Joseph's lineage carried the birthright and the inheritance of the eternal kingdom of God. And God always wants that. He's looking for that he can invest that inheritance. And he knew he couldn't do that there for Reuben. He was the son of Israel. You know, that it's a type of the New Testament birthright. Given, God will always give a birthright inheritance to a people that honor him. To a people that honor him. Isn't that a blessing? We're talking about a goodly heritage, a goodly birthright, a goodly inheritance. You know, many of us have many blessings that we didn't do anything for. We really do. Some of those blessings, when we think of those goodly blessings that we did nothing for, I think of the simple thing of marriage. You know, in my life, I don't think of divorcing my wife. I just don't do it. I mean, there's a spiritual significance that God wants to take us deeper. He wants us to become one. He wants us to love one another. But that's a heritage. That's a blessing. And this morning, the goal and desire from our lives would be that we would be careful not to commit offenses against Him Almighty and His laws and His word, because the inheritance will be forfeited. It will be taken away. That'd be the heart this morning. That God would continue to give us the inheritance, continue to give that to us, and we would seek that. We would seek that. Be careful. This morning, these are things that God is doing, has been doing, and it's doing deeper in my life. Be careful on every decision you make. That's not scary. That's just saying be careful, because it could cost you your inheritance from God Almighty. Now we want to be clear that because when someone obeys God and loves Him and obeys His word this morning, and there's earthly situations that don't turn out perfectly, we understand that. God does too. But we're trying to make correlation that we have to first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And this will not neglect or throw away beautiful things that we can appreciate of heritage on an earthly perspective. Because there are some things. Sometimes it's hard to find them according to what we go through. According to our experiences, we struggle to find them. But they're there. They're a blessing. Things like, you know, I mean, I think of just a little thing. I would never think this morning of putting a wedding ring on. I just wouldn't think of it. And partly, majorly, all my upbringing years, my father was not converted till he was 39. But he had took a sawzall and cut it off of my finger. Something would have happened. You know, something would have majorly happened. Well, I'm not degrading or judging anyone that wears a wedding ring, but what I'm trying to say is that we and I hear people saying why they do it. You know, I hear sometimes people say why they paint their nails is because they got a health problem, and I just hear so many things of why we why we do things in life. But just remember, be careful to our decisions that they would honor God, is my point. God help us. I want to say this morning, many times the heritage of God, and you brothers can also have input on this. We are not here with final authority and answers, but have input on this later. The heritage of God is lost many times little by little. One little thing at a time. We just weaken it down. That's how it's lost in some of my observations. Now you can let something go overnight, something real big, but it doesn't happen that very often. Truly this morning we need the blessing of God. We need the blessing of God in our lives. You know, there's a song that we've sang as a family in the past month or so, different times. Thou art my portion, thou art my guide. You know, in that song, I think of what number is that song? Somebody know what? 791. I'll just read that line in there. That yeah, the line that has, as we sang this, has continued to bless me. Line 2 says, I choose the path of heavenly truth and glory in my choice. Not all the riches of the earth could make me so rejoice. And it's probably not as important to me as it should be, but I want together to help us to see how important it is to choose the path of heavenly truth and accept the things that come. Because things come that you didn't bargain for. In the pursuit of choosing that path of heavenly truth, you know, into glory in our choice, though we die. Because we're on the timeline of eternity, we're not trying to save ourselves in this 70-year period. That's how the humanistic or self-seeking world presses us into, that we want to do whatever it takes here to save ourselves in this time. And we lose our inheritance when we get into that rut. We lose that. I want to say that we have a goodly heritage. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ, we have a goodly heritage. And that's also transferred as godly. You know, this morning, a heritage, a goodly and a godly inheritance can never be inherited by sinners. Can never be inherited by sinners. Saying that to say that there are many sinners that are blessed by a goodly heritage. Always. You know, there are sinners. There are sinners that are in communities that are spared from going to jail because of care around them and support. And judges say, I think you might be able to help them better. Some of those things have been real. As we went to here the other week, we were in the Alcatraz prison on the San Francisco Bay. We went in there for a little family trip. And we went through that Alcatraz prison, and these are where some of these things were born. I was kind of separated from my own earthly duties at home in this sense. But they were giving us a tour in there, and they were sharing with us all the men that tried to escape and all the difficulties they faced and the type of people that were in there, and we listened, and I listened to that. And at the end of that, they shared how many of these men had no one. They had no one. And this morning, as I listened to that, it broke my heart. Because I remember leaving weekend after weekend. And I would look back at the doorway and watch my mother stand there and cry and plead with me. In the carnality of her life, I know she wasn't entirely right with God, but it was a heritage that I was spawning and I was moving the wrong way. I looked at that and I listened to these men's stories. And I told God I had a goodly heritage, God. I did. But I found also a better one in salvation. I found the real heritage. Praise God, my mother and father got converted. But when I listened to those stories, and at the end, the warden, the one that was sharing, he said, "We always ask groups if there's advice. How can we stop this incarceration of men? How can we stop this?" He said, "We've tried two things in life's journey." He said, "From the 1960s until now, they give us a pin on a board of how many maximum security prisons there are in the United States, and it's phenomenal. It's just huge." From 1963, and he says it's a dilemma. We can't stop them. So we tried two things. He said, "We've tried to enforce law, give them stronger sentences. So if they get a 10-year sentence, we'll give them a 20-year. And it just doesn't seem like it works. We can't slow it down. And we've also tried to use the method of teaching and reformation, taking them through program, helping, trying to retrain their mind. And is there another way?" And I was sitting there thinking, yes, there is. Yes, there is. We talked about law and power and money, and then we talked about reformation. You know, do you ever remember a time in life when you just loved to do wrong, but you knew there was a law that you couldn't? Well, how about a replacement plan? That's alternative, but it's be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove that what is good and acceptable will of God. And that was exciting for me as I sat in there. I thought, this is the inheritance that we have as God's people. This is why we can stay out of jail for that reason. That's why. For that reason. We just can't stop doing wrong. That should not be our testimony as God's people. Sinners are blessed by the godly heritages around them. 1 Corinthians 6, if you turn your Bibles there. In light of what we've talked about, sinners will not inherit this inheritance, this heritage. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, 10, and 11. Very familiar verses. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Just think about the picture here of the social sins of humanity. And they were in every one of our hearts. At some form or another, these things were in there. If they were never fully practiced, they were burning in there. That we needed help. And some of us, praise God, for our parents, for that wraparound, to watch us, to help us. We not inherit. Romans 8 is a few more verses. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. Paging through a number of scriptures here this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, it says, we'll start in 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And then 17 is that thought pattern. "And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." And then if we finish with 18, you don't know where to stop and start reading the scriptures. They're inspiring. It says in 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So when you think of the timeline of our 70 or 80 year experience, normally, you know, we can all, but we think of that timeline and we think of the scriptures and we try to, it's something that's really hard for us to do in our finite minds, is to take the scriptures and place them on the timeline of eternity. It's so hard for us, but it's so important. Because for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they're not to be compared with this timeline of eternity. And so then we, whether we live or whether we die, and brother, as you were sharing, pride and humility, we can work for 15 years trying to become more humble. But oh God, let's not try to save ourselves in this timeline. Whether we're 30 or 40, and I know, I, you know, those struggles are so real because we're in this flesh, and it's a beautiful thing to allow the Lord to clean us and to shape us and to mold us into the timeline of eternity. So if we reckon that a suffering, as we shared that song earlier, we have chosen the path of heavenly peace. We've chosen the path of this eternity. Yet we're stuck in this box of time. And ooh, they did that to me. They said that about me. And we lose our inheritance by these things of this timeline. May God help us. May God pick up our lives and put us on a different idea of thought. And I know that many of you know all this. These things were just a blessing to me. They encouraged my own life. And that's what the intention is today. Think of you and I. Think of a community here in Shelbyville. A community back home in Allen County being an heir of God. And a joint heir of Jesus Christ. What will we give in exchange for that this morning? And I know that we would all say nothing. But the stark reality is we see it happen. We see it happen in our own hearts sometimes. We just give an exchange because something didn't go right on this timeline. May God help me. May that be our greatest pursuit on this earth, on our journey, is this inheritance. The biblical inheritance, the perspective of this is, this inheritance is to all those who are redeemed. All those who are redeemed. You know, it's not just us and our certain people. It's all those that are redeemed. Because the Apostle Paul, he understood that heritage in that Old Testament. As I watched, I read some of his thoughts there in a dictionary that I have. Just seeing that the Apostle Paul knew why the Jews were so, this inheritance was so important. It was important. But the Apostle Paul could take that and he could make a New Testament truth come alive for the people. And the reason that was is because when the Apostle Paul and many of the early church fathers there tried to introduce the fact that the Gentiles could become adopted, it caused tremendous problems because they were not in the inheritance. But this was that full inheritance right that everyone has a right to. That comes to Jesus Christ. Everyone. Because we are all adopted into Him. Whether we are from Chicago, whether we are in San Francisco, whether we are in Shelbyville, there are some advantages and disadvantages that all of us have reaped and not reaped from. I realize that. And we were sharing some of them earlier, and you all have stories. But to think about that beautiful truth this morning, that everyone that's adopted into this family by the blood of Jesus Christ has a full inheritance right. Isn't that a blessing? It's a goodly heritage this morning. Very good. This is something that will never go away because it's forever and ever and ever. 1 Peter 1. If you turn there for a few more scriptures. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Very familiar scriptures as well. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Again, that we're reading, we're We're reading from the perspective of the timeline of eternity here. The scriptures are written that way. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Up here in this timeline, we talked about an inheritance. Earthly, it's corruptible. In 100 and some years from now, well, hopefully not. I'm trying to make it, maybe we should say 200 years from now. There'll be complete different people here if the Lord tarries. And things will be inherited to them. And hopefully there's faithfulness. That's the cry. That's the heart of God, is faithfulness in every generation. But the true reality is there will be. That'll never change. That inheritance will never change in eternity. There will always be people that are seeking that. That was the encouragement in my own life to press on. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says, an incorruptible. When something's corruptible, we live in a very corruptible world. Things are always going down. But this incorruptible is where we draw our strength from in life. Acts chapter 26, some more scriptures. Acts chapter 26 is a familiar scriptures also. It's the Apostle Paul there in Acts 26. He's giving his testimony to King Agrippa. And when he gives his testimony to that king, I always marveled at just the principles that when there is an inheritance sharing or an inheritance given, a testimony given. And we were traveling to a meeting the other day with a few of us brothers, and we were talking about this. I was trying to ask for some advice, and we'll do that here again. The inheritance of God, the gift of salvation, the things that we receive of God, there seems to be two things that go on. It is positional. It's like you receive it. When you ask, it's received upon a pure heart. But then it's conditional in the walking out of it. It's received, praise God, because back earlier we talked about if there's an offense done to the Father, the inheritance has to be pulled away. And when that is, we don't always have that authority to say, well, you don't have it no more, or these people don't have it no more. But we would say, by the authority of the Scriptures, it is positional, but it's also conditional. But I would take communication with that. It's conditional. We cannot just live however we want and claim inheritances. And that's what most of the professing world does. We have eternal life, and you don't know nothing about it. It don't look like eternal life. It doesn't smell like eternal life. It has nothing to do with that timeline of eternity. It's squashed in this humanistic time frame of Christian professions, and hopefully I'm making sense there. That's just been a burden on our hearts. May God help me. I'm so thankful that it's positional, because I did nothing. We did nothing. We just begged for God, and we still beg for God. But the same thing is back 20, 30 years ago when we receive it. We say, God, help me. Show me. I don't want to lose it. I'm not afraid I'm going to lose it. We should never be afraid, but I don't want to lose this inheritance. I want to obey Him. And God can help us. He doesn't want us to be afraid. The thing is, the Apostle Paul, I'm going to keep reading here. The Apostle Paul was sharing his testimony with Agrippa. And the reason I brought that up is maybe I should have read these verses first, because you'll see the Apostle Paul receiving this. In verse 15, we'll start in there. This is part of him sharing his testimony with the King Agrippa. It says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord?" This is the Apostle. He's telling Agrippa, he's responding to the Lord. And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee the minister and to witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me," Jesus said. As I read those scriptures, that's so powerful. There is a condition there, beloved. And I would that Jesus would stir in all of our hearts that there is a condition, and it's a condition is that the Apostle Paul was given something in a position that day. He started doing not much at all. But he said, this is what I have for you, Paul, that you would help these Gentiles, that their eyes would be opened and they would be turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Isn't that a beautiful heritage this morning? That's beautiful. The power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. So again, that puts us that stirs in our hearts. What are we saved for? And I think sometimes in my life I get saved in this timeline and I'm just happy I'm saved. I'm happy I'm right with God. But what about others? What about other Gentiles? That they could receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified. That are sanctified by faith that is in me, Jesus Christ said. So I was encouraged by those verses in light of the Apostle Paul's, you know, reading those verses and thinking of the scriptures. If you turn quickly over to Colossians, similar thought. Colossians chapter 1. Similar thought. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, it says, for this cause, this is the Apostle Paul. This is, again, after the reception of that position he had. In verse 9 it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful into every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Look at the heart of the Apostle Paul in Colossians. And he was telling the Colossian church, this was the will of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And these, you know, when I started looking at those words and I the scriptures just unfolded, and there's so many scriptures. Look, go ahead and do a study on it. The inheritance, the heritage of God. And he says, the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And again, that condition is very, very powerful there. Look at that you know, when I read these verses in my personal life, I can never read these verses. All of us have a personal connection with verses and different remembrances. But it's always important to bring our remembrances and our experiences in line with the Word. But I remember as a young boy, I used to tremble under this verse. 10, 12, 13 years old. I remember hearing this, and I had an uncle that would preach on this verse every time I heard him preach. And he would preach that verse, and I knew I longed for an inheritance of this spiritual nature as a young boy. But I would always remember that. And so that's why I look back at that and I remember this was something good for me to remember, because it did something to me in my life growing up. He would say, I think he would say it, some of you in German would be able to, wer hat uns errettet von der Obrigkeit der Finsternis und hat uns versetzt in das Reich seines Liebes Sohn. And I remember as a young boy, I thought, that's not me, God. I understood that. Because I was not errettet. I knew, I'd go home and I'd think, what does that mean? That means delivered. I was not delivered from anything. So I just wanted to think about, so when I look back at that, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. Because it never left me. That Word of God never left my heart. And I would go my way in my teens and I would think, I try to ward off that Word. You know, my mother would say, whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap, son. And I'd go and this Word would just war at me. That's a heritage, beloved. It's a heritage. Imperfect, but it's a heritage. It's a blessing. Thank God for those things. One of those things, in one of the things to remember in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. We're talking about inheritance and a goodly one, the one of the saints of light. Here it says made us meet, and the other interpretation of that, some other amplified version I think has qualified us. When something is made to meet, God hath made us meet. He made us qualified for this inheritance. That should do anything but make us proud. He has taken us, Gentiles, and made us qualified to be part of this inheritance. With the saints in light, meaning the saints, meaning with the sons of light, with those that walk in the light. I want to look at two different Bible characters. That one who didn't, as I shared earlier, he didn't have an inheritance worthy. He didn't deem it worthy or valuable. And I was thinking of that. If you turn your Bibles back to Genesis, go there. You're probably there already in your minds. Somebody want to say what for man didn't deem his inheritance valuable and give it up? Somebody want to try to get to that? Esau. For your little ones, the children, listen. There's something here in this story that spoke to me again. I heard this story all my life. My mother read stories to us as children. But there's something very profound here. And remember, it will help us to discern which timeline we're on or which one we're going to press on. Esau here, give it up. Genesis chapter 25, we'll read a few verses here, starting in verse 27. There were two boys, Jacob and Esau. The two boys here, and we'll jump in 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sod pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at a point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And as you look at that story, you all have thoughts. Engage your mind in that Bible story. It's a familiar Bible story of two boys, but an eternity of difference. An eternity of difference. You know, what are the bowls of soup these days that men, and I want to try to, again, I don't know why the burden has been so heavy. It's probably because it's more personal for me in my own life. How long will we be stuck on saving ourselves in this timeline? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I don't feel good. That wasn't right. That wasn't fair. All of that should pale in our minds if we become short of the eternal goal. And Esau, I surely was short of it in that thought. He scorned his birthright. The word scorned, the last verse there, it says, "And thus Esau despised his birthright." You know, I'm not of a persuasion this morning, Esau, I don't want that thing. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't think Esau was doing that. So men don't do that today either. Oh, we want to go to heaven. Oh, we all want to go to heaven. But by this, we despise our birthright. So you could say, by thy works, the scripture would teach us, by thy actions, and by a bowl of soup. Thus he despised his birthright. What will we do in our churches, in our communities? What will this be? By this, we will despise our birthright. It didn't seem bad. He was just hungry. He just sat down and ate a bowl of soup because I'm hungry. You know, he didn't even do a bad sin, if you call that. I mean, that was a bad sin, beloved, really bad. Would have been better for him to die of hunger this morning. It would have been better. An eternity of a better way. What would be better for us this morning? What are the bowls? I wrote down a thought. What are the bowls of soup in 2025? What are they? Stimulate conversation. Turn your Bibles to Daniel. We want to look at a different scene. Three men. You can probably get there too as well. In the book of Daniel, three men that stood. They stood for their inheritance. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3. We'll start right in there in verse 8 as well. There could be a lot of reading there, but we'll start in verse 8. It says, "Wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, and harp, and the sackbut, and the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, and the harp, sackbut, and the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" This was Nebuchadnezzar with a question mark. Now remember the pressure. Now I don't know, this pressure was big. We try to put ourselves in that pressure. But these three men, there's something seems to be distinct about them. And the distinction that I thought of and shared together with the family is they had a distinction of where they knew they was. They were in the timeline of eternity. They were. There was a mob of people there. There was a golden idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Meaning that we take courage to answer you in this matter. They weren't mean. He said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Look at the beauty of these men. There was something they possessed that was different than a selfish ambition. "But if not," they told him in verse 18, "be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." We'll stop reading there for sake of time. But the fury and the anger and the rage that come out of that, and the story went on, and these men, they were resolved in their hearts. It's a very encouraging story. Very encouraging to be resolved in our hearts. You know, and through my life and through our life, maybe you can make some 2025 correlations with that. You know, I've heard of I'm throwing this out as things that are happening. They're not. I'm not condemning. I'm just saying, what about our inheritance? You know, can Christian men? Well, I'll go into a certain temple and I'll just pray to my God while everyone else is kneeling down praying to. I would like to pick up the standard and say, no, we cannot do that, beloved. Our God is bigger than a God of image. And so I remember thinking about that when some of my, even my oldest son, I think was a smaller, and we were reading that story, and he said, well, Daddy, I think I remember that, if he remembers right. He asked, why didn't them three men maybe just knee down right with all of them and just pray to Jesus? And it was a good opportunity. I remember just thinking about that. Seemed kind of easy. But you know what? It was a saving ourselves motive. That's what it was, the timeline of this life. You know, I'm not saying that can't never happen and people can't get by and get through and understand they shouldn't have, but I would say that thus is the despising of the birthright. So as I thought of those things, I remember thinking, I think I remember sharing the verses with him at that point, the same verses that come to my mind this week, that what would Jesus say? How does the enemy try to get us to dishonor the heritage of the saints? Did you ever find yourself doing that in life? You know that's a Christian brother. That's a Christian family. But because of my surroundings, I can't greet him with the Holy... dishonoring God with my life. It's a timeline of saving ourselves. That's what it is. We do that. We save ourselves. And what Jesus said, that this golden image would, you know, when this golden image or that, what I just shared, that image would pale in the light of the truth of eternity. It would just begin to pale. And we greet our brother and we don't bow down to the golden calf. And then Jesus said that whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this generation, of him will I be ashamed of in that great day. So how do we become unashamed of Jesus today? In those ways, we seek. Jesus also said, he who seeks to save his life shall lose it. Just saving our lives, we can forfeit birthrights or forfeit inheritance. Just saving ourselves. May God inspire us together. You know, be it known, you know, when they said unto that king there in Daniel, be it known unto you, king, I'm sure that they were aware of things could happen because the fiery furnace was going on and things were happening. But this morning, the same thing's happening. Jesus teaches us to count the costs to follow him. The same things happen. Sometimes inside of churches, outside of churches, the costs of doing what God says is always going to cost. Always. Always will take a pure commitment of resolve. Now the third point, remember the two men, third point I shared, we'd like to look at just a few practical ways that our heritage is compromised in our day. My prayer is that I would hope that we're clear enough that we're not talking about land and possessions or checks, even though those things happen in life as you transfer. Or also, we'd be clear enough this morning that we're not talking about heritages like things of a group, things of people that are not godly, that are not obeying the scriptures. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about a heritage that fears God and obeys his word. So them are just, I know always, we don't want to come across in an unsound way. We want to be clear. Today, there is a great image. I was thinking on some practical ways. In Daniel's time, it was that idol of image, just the image of that golden idol, and everybody just bowed down to that idol. And I had to think of the self-worship, you know, and it was interesting. You know, I'm just thankful today that you have a wood pulpit up here. You know, because I don't want to be worshipped. Do you want to be worshipped? You know, and there's multitudes of people in churches that gather together and they worship self. you have a music band up here, and you have a, you know, and you have a promotion, and people are moved, and it's just a practical thought, you know, and it's the same principles of the world. It's self-worship. And I'm very thankful that we don't want that. We don't want to practice that. But there's multitudes and multitudes that do that and share some of these verses and try to help people become born again in their selfish pursuits. And isn't it a blessing this morning to help each other get born again when we put the cross to ourselves? Because then we can be born again. We can do God's will. Endeavor to get on that journey. Self-worship. You know, there's a truth also about separation. The truth of God about separation from this world. You know, this battleground, and I'm sure some of you older ones understand this. I'm learning. But this battleground of separation of the world, oh, that's just your personal preference. We just separate ourselves from the world because we're just personal. We have a personal agenda. I don't believe it's true this morning. The church and the kingdom of God is separated from the world clearly all the time. All the time. And yet there's a lot of disclaimers we could talk about. But the beauty of that is that it's separated because of a purpose. It's separated because the timeline of eternity. It's not separated because we want to have a little show over here in a corner. It's separated so the world could know that God is true. That God is true. You know, personal preferences are not salvation issues. And there could be many things added to this. You know, think of, you know, I sometimes hear, well, the head covering is not a salvation issue. Thinking through those things, let us think through those things together. Beloved, this morning obeying God is a salvation issue. It is. It's a salvation issue. There's something very ungodly about those things. We're finding ourselves, we try to save each other, we try to save people without a call to obedience, without a call to full surrender. So some of those things need to be sought through, what's positional. When can you be saved? When you call upon the name of the Lord, upon a full resolve to obey Him. Obey Him. Just think about that. Oh, that's just your personal preference. It's not a salvation issue. Now, this morning, think of that. Think of, there will always be a cross to continue in faith. Always be a cross. You don't have to make one up. You don't have to carry one. I remember one number of years ago, we were heading over to Rochester on a Sunday morning, and we were going down 30, and there's two guys going down 30 with a big 6 or 8 foot cross with wheels in the back. They were just jogging down 30, and I remember going there. I was going to go there to preach, and I was like, what am I going to? This just like, woo! But they were taking up their cross and going down. But I thought, man, they had wheels on it, so that's pretty easy. But just think about, And I don't know what their intentions was. I wasn't. It was just a moment I thought, wow. I thought Jesus said, whosoever don't take up his cross and follow me. But remember, beloved, this morning, that the cross is the element of this timeline of eternity. We truly take up our cross. We praise God. I just want us to know this morning that we want to praise God for this as God's children in His kingdom, because it keeps the clean line. It does, always does. It brings things to the surface. This morning, there are people in the Bible, there are situations in the Bible where you can actually see this worked out. You think of the Apostle Paul and Demas. You read those two men's accounts as they journeyed together. The only thing that Paul says about Demas is he loved his present age. Whatever that was, I don't know if it was prestige, pride, I don't know. But this morning, the Apostle Paul is what he knew, that he said, I had to let him go. Demas loved this present age. Probably the conformity of it and everything else with a matter of time. Demas loved this age. To love and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, the giver of our inheritance. and a heritage of those that fear His name. In our short life on this earth, can we or will we seek the heritage of those that fear His name? Because it will always be there. May God help us. Just seek that heritage, because God has it there. He's not going to come back to take nobody home with Him. That's encouraging this morning. He's going to come back to take a people home with Him. Light of eternity. Salvation issues. I think of, there's a few other things here. We'll keep going. Look at Bible truths in light of the eternal inheritance, not by our experiences. It becomes very unsafe. Because in my life, I need my brethren. I need you, brethren. I've had experiences that have a tendency of shaping my neurological thought patterns that need some biblical correction. They do. And so we need to help each other. Bible truths in light of eternity, not by our experiences. Because some of us have experiences that are very difficult. And so that's probably where I would say in some realities, in my experience growing up, I had a blessed experience. And that's not so all around. It wasn't perfect. But I appreciate today my upbringing more than I ever did. With the things that God is doing in my life, I am so thankful. However, I still have to bring my experiences, and like you all have to, and bring them, and I have to obey the Word of God over some things that don't work out. We have to obey God. That will never cause us to dishonor. That will never cause us to be rebellious. It'll cause us to be humble, have a good spirit. You know, I think of another practical thing. We did talk about the head covering. That's just a personal preference. One other practical thought would have is just obedient children. You know, in life we live, the expressions of obedient children is faith. When we see obedient children, it's faith. It's like, wow, that's faith. And just as we are to obey Jesus Christ, that's how faith is explained. We don't really know how to say everything in life, but we know one thing: when there's an obedient child, that's a blessing. It's a blessing. So we live in a world that tries to press us into child-controlled homes. You know, we just make sure that all the children are happy. But this morning, that in timeline of eternity, the best way to fit our children for eternity is to help them to obey. Help them to obey and not to follow them and dance around them. It's part of a heritage. And some of those things we have learned, some of those things were something we learned. Again, back to the fact that we are not required to do something against the Scriptures, ever. But to be thankful for, I'm just so thankful that my dad never left me go. When I was disobedient to him, we paid a price. And rightly so. We paid a price that we were disobedient. These practical points don't never change. That's why our experiences need to be brought into submission to God. These practical things never change. Lord, be merciful to us, a people. Help us. Help us to know Your will. The practical points here we shared are not something new to any of us. You know, the heritage, one of the things that I'd like to share in just in closing here is one other testimony that we had on our little journey. We visited with a man that was in his 60s. And he came up to us and he asked us a few questions, and he had some thoughts about us that he shared and with our family and our children. And so we endeavored to just ask him questions. He was from Las Vegas, and he said, yeah, I'm from Las Vegas. And we asked him, what about his family? He was in the 60s. And he said, well, and he started kind of getting emotional. And he says that a year and a half ago, my one son was murdered in Las Vegas. And what I'm trying to say is the talk we had, he was a Christian. He went to church, and he asked us, our family, we know the song, Old Rugged Cross, and my God, do I love you? And he, you know, some familiar hymns. And he said to her, I love God. I love God. I go to church. And then he said, well, and then my second son, he come home from war and he couldn't handle it. He blew up, started getting into things, and all of a sudden had a cardiac arrest, a heart attack, and died. He said, my two sons, I have one daughter. He said, I don't have a heritage. He said, you have a heritage. And so he's looking at me and us as Anabaptist people. He said, whatever you do, don't stop. He said, because I don't have nothing. But I tell you, why does Vegas impress our people? Why does the lights impress our people? And I left that meeting and I broke my heart. Vegas needs to be delivered out of Vegas, so to speak. But there's a heritage for us, for those that fear His name. And so it made me thankful for my heritage, spiritually and earthly. It did. Just sitting there listening to Him. And so we asked Him, what would you tell us to do? He said, well, I want to tell you something. He said, one thing I know for sure is man's not created to kill people. And I thought, wow. And then we got around the subject of non-resistance. Yeah, he said, that's true. So I quoted John D. Martin. And John D. Martin said, if the whole world would obey Jesus, we wouldn't have any needs. He said, well, that's the truth. He said, just keep doing that. I said, well, what about? He said, well, I lost my son. I just wanted to think about a heritage that them two things we said, they're this far apart. They're this far apart this morning. A man in his 60s, pouring concrete. Nice guy. Done. No heritage on this earth of faithfulness in the timeline of eternity. Now him, he was a nice man. That's not our calling, but I'm just trying to make a point. Look at all of our families and our children. Will we trade those ideas for Vegas? I expect better things of that than any of us in this room. May God help us. May God help us to seek Him. A closing verse in Psalms. I'll read. Just to leave an encouragement with you in closing. Psalms 37 verse 18. In Psalms 37 verse 18 it says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. I want to press toward that all the days of our life on this bottom timeline, that our inheritance can be forever and ever from one generation to another. So I will make myself open as well. You pray for us. We just shared the things that were on our hearts, and there could be some ads and takeaways. But God bless you all, and pray for each other as the people of God.